that the word might be a blessing to us and its ministry. Well, we can lead right into the reading of God's word then, to Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Pew Bibles, that's page 1170. You get all those little letters from the Apostle Paul, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. We read this tale, well, about centered into the third chapter here, verses 12 to 17. So we consider the Christian spirit of thanksgiving this morning. Here's what God's word says to us there. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Again, here that last verse is a focus. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May God's word be a blessing to us this morning. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, most of us, if not all of us, can speak about a time in our lives where we could say, if it wasn't for this person or that person and what they did for me, I don't know where I'd be today. It's why people will say on a day like this, and it might not be something surprising to hear in your own homes when you gather together, you know, I'm thankful to my father for this, or for my mother because of that. I'm thankful for my friend or my teacher or my colleague. I might be thankful for my neighbor, my doctor, the nurses that helped me. Because one thing's for sure, many have helped me. None of us can ever say that we're totally self-made men or women or children for that matter, because one way or another, we're all indebted to someone for something. We owe a lot of people a lot of things when we think about the ways in which they've been a blessing to us. And maybe that's the reason why some sort of Thanksgiving celebration happens throughout the world in various times, at various places. It's the most popular of holidays on the planet. Thanksgiving is recognized as the most commonly celebrated holiday. It remains popular, of course, in our own country. And no matter what associations people may place on it, it is one that people look forward to and people celebrate in many different ways. The Christian certainly can appreciate a call to thanksgiving, because if there's anybody who has a reason to celebrate Thanksgiving, if there's anybody who has a responsibility to do that, it's a Christian person. The Christian spirit of thanksgiving can't, of course, be contained in a single day any more than the appreciation of the birth of Jesus Christ, or the appreciation of the crucifixion of Christ, or the appreciation for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or the ascension of Jesus Christ. You can't confine those things, those celebrations, to a certain day. You can't confine them to or restrict them to Christmas or to Good Friday or to Easter or an Ascension Day celebration. Any more than you could do that with the honoring of fathers or mothers. You don't just do that, do you, on a Mother's Day or on a Father's Day? And yet, we celebrate those kind of events, and we make those kind of holidays, and we celebrate those kind of figures and those virtues like Thanksgiving with a special day, not because that's the only day we do it, but because we recognize the importance of these things in our lives every day. That's why we make a holiday of it. The importance of Christian Thanksgiving is underlined, it's capitalized, it's emboldened in the hearts of Christians as we discover that as it reaches beyond human bounds and that it's more than mere gladness, that it involves the gracious relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. This helps to underline and capitalize and embolden the importance of Christian Thanksgiving. That and seeing that it spans all of life, and that it's a unique expression that we're privileged to give through a unique person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and which is why it's so important to be a Christian then. These combined characteristics that you see in the points that I've given are the essence of our sermon today, but they're also those combined characteristics of Christian thanksgiving set it apart from every other kind of form of thanksgiving that you're going to see around the world and that you're going to see in your day. We focus then on the Christian spirit of thanksgiving, to whom it's ultimately directed, through whom it's expressed, and how it covers every moment and action of the Christian life. So first of all, it is something that is we want to look at to whom it's ultimately directed. Life's experiences can vary from year to year and person to person, of course. We all know that. And when Thanksgiving rolls around, you can have different experiences and different circumstances, and it might be a triumphal time for you, it might be a trying time. I remember the very first Thanksgiving I ever was to celebrate as a pastor back in Kansas. I was in the hospital the whole first part of the week because I had a tumor shelled out of my neck. And on Thanksgiving Day, I was eating Thanksgiving dinner at home after having been in the hospital for 3 days and having my head bandaged so I looked like I was in the Revolutionary War, and I had my head like this trying to eat. I'm thankful that's past me. But we've all recognize that there's different circumstances that happen to us on Thanksgiving Day, or that we're dealing with on Thanksgiving Day, or that we're dealing with from year to year. And thinking about all the different years I've had, I preached on a Thanksgiving Day, I recognize some of them in people's life personally, or things that have happened to people nationally. A couple of years ago with COVID, for instance. Life's experiences can vary. Medically, relationally, financially, at school, at work, at home, at church. And sometimes it appears that carefree non-Christians have more reason to be thankful than Christians based on their apparent financial and moral flexibility. They have what they want and they do what they want. So what does a person do? Does one need to wait until things are better to be thankful? Can you still be a thankful person when others seem to have it better than you do, Christian or not? Do you still want to be thankful? Do you think there's a reason to be? In a passage like ours, let's say, yes, there is. If I'm a Christian, I have reason to be thankful today. Part of the problem we face with Thanksgiving is that we tend to equate it with gladness. Now, it doesn't mean there isn't gladness involved, but if we can substitute the word thankful with the word gladness when expressing what's going on in our lives, then we have a Thanksgiving that's a mere shallow, inward experience rather than the deeper outward expression to God that Thanksgiving should ultimately be. You know, even when we attempt to express thanks in an outward way, it's tempting to keep it shallow. And it can still fall short of its ultimate object. Many manage, after all, to express a kind of thankfulness to people and for all kinds of people. They're thankful for their parents. They're thankful for their jobs. They may be thankful for what they call good fortune. I've been lucky. And they may be thankful for their health. They're thankful for good neighbors or friends. They're happy. They're happy. They're happy for these people and for the way things are. And yet Thanksgiving never gets off the earth. It doesn't get to be heavenly as people that are grateful to God. They're grateful for people and in the process happy for themselves. It's tempting to leave Thanksgiving there. And now again, it's good for us to direct thanks to those to whom we owe much. But in giving such thanks, the Christian also has grounds to thank God the Father who holds our times in his hands. He or she knows that the fatherly care of his God and his providence has made use of father and mother, sons and daughters, health and prosperity. But even more, every situation. In order that all of these things are going to work to our profit, so that when we're Christians, we can say that God is working all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And that's why we can be thankful always. Now that's different than happy always. We're at peace. We're in shalom. At peace in knowing that God has my times in my hands. They're not out of control. And I can give thanks to him for that. As Christians, we see that even in the pain and the suffering and the straits in which we find ourselves, that we aren't left as orphans. We are not like sheep without a shepherd. We thank God, the Father, because for the sake of Jesus Christ, he hasn't abandoned us. It might feel like that, but then the Word gives us that perspective again and reminds us that's not true. He's reminded us in life and in death that we remain his children, so that even as the Bible would say, even if mother and father were to forsake me, God will take me in. God will receive me. And our passage gives us a beautiful reminder of Thanksgiving's motivation, doesn't it? It starts out by saying, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, be thankful for that reason. That's the preface. That's the presumption. You're God's chosen, holy, and dearly loved people. Loved from eternity, loved in time. God's electing love for us in Christ is the reason that we can always be thankful. not merely this moment or the other moment. It is the everlasting bond from eternity brought into time that is the reason that we can be thankful to God always. He's loved us from eternity, and he dearly loves us now. If we have to wait for our health to get better, or our financial bottom line to get better, or for your youth to return, or for your loved ones to come back, well, we might never be thankful to God again, if that's what it has to take. The reason that we need not wait, nor should we wait to be thankful, is that in good times and in bad times, when we are children of the Heavenly Father, chosen from eternity, holy and dearly loved for the sake of Jesus Christ in time, we are always dearly loved. We can't leave God out of the picture when we're dealing with what we're dealing with. We are always dearly loved by him with a love that matters the most. We stand in the grace of God, like Romans 5 would say. And never does he remove that dear love from us. And so pondering God's election then is far from being this clinical and cold examination that we do. It impacts us to such a degree that it means a life of thanks. Because as the word of Christ dwells in us with these truths, thanksgiving is appropriate. Thanksgiving is substantial. Thanksgiving is lifelong. It's a celebratory response, recognized as such by even holding a holiday for it, directed towards our Father in heaven for Jesus' sake. Today is a good day to take inventory of our hearts to see if we find that kind of thankful spirit in it. Because out of that heart, the mouth sings and speaks. When we take that kind of an inventory, we take the time like we do this morning to sing. We sing from the heart, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with gratitude in our hearts, you see, to God, in response to the gospel word of Christ filling our hearts richly. And so what do we end up doing? We end up singing outwardly and thankfully based on what God's grace has done to our hearts inwardly. Out of the abundance of our hearts, our mouths speak and sing. So if you want to know what's in your heart, think about that when you're singing later. Because you'll know what's in your heart by the way you sing. So the Christian spirit of thanks is one that is directed to God the Father. And it's expressed through the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. People might speak about thanks to God, or they might glibly say, thank God. But we can only really do that through Jesus Christ, can't we? We wouldn't, after all, be children of the Heavenly Father were it not for Christ's work and for his word dwelling in us richly. That truth, of course, is why thanksgiving also belongs to the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? It should be directed to him, because where would we be without him? Where would we be? It's hard enough to live life, but where would we be without Christ? If we really want to live a thankful life, if we truly want to be thankful, Christ is essential to that. Now, some people say, well, how could that be? Because like you just said, there's Thanksgiving celebrations all over the place. And not all these people are Christians who are carrying them out. For many, such thankfulness, as we said, is often more gladness than gratitude, mere gladness. And the two are easily confused. Not to say that we don't give thanks with gladness, but there's a difference between mere gladness and gratitude. Mere gladness is grounded on the happiness of the moment. True and lasting gratitude is grounded on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if our gratitude isn't grounded on Christ and leaves God out, then everything's lost. Because it's only through Christ that all things can be working together for your good and for my good. Only through Christ can we say, if God is for us, who can be against us? And if we don't know Christ, we remain his enemies, and then we have to say, if God is against us, then who could absolutely be for us? Apart from Christ, our reasons for thanks are short-sighted. They're misdirected, they're self-deceiving, and they're short-lived. Without Christ, the great mediator and intercessor, pleading our cause all the time, there isn't any true reason for thanksgiving. No matter how rich you are, no matter how wealthy you are that way, no matter how healthy you are, no matter how popular you might be, no matter how smart you might be, no matter what name or last name you happen to have, Christ is essential to thanksgiving. Not so much what you have that way than belonging to Christ. And so with him and in him and through him alone, you and I have every reason for thanks. And that's what our passage says too. Whatever you do in word and deed, give thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Everything we do in word and deed should be done and will be done in thanks when they are done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our thanks cover every moment, whatever you do, whatever you say in word and deed. It's because it is the Lord Jesus who gives us every reason for thanksgiving to God the Father in everything that we say or do. Now, that might seem like a tall order, because then what you're saying is that thanksgiving is your life. It's your entirety. Whatever you do, says the apostle, be thankful. He'd already mentioned how that is our calling in our praise, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But now he says, but do it in everything, in your practice, not just your praise, but your practice. And in the context of our passage, we see some of the ways that can be done, of course, right? When we can express, when we can replace our filthy language and lying words of truth and compassion and kindness and humility. Not to forget, of course, our words of praise before God and words of prayer. These are but a few ways in which our words can be words of thanks. And when our words are more and more words of contentment and peace rather than grumbling and complaining, then we show that in our words, what is going on in our hearts, right? If you find yourself that your life is more about, you know, I'm not happy unless I'm unhappy in that sense. I got to complain. There's always got to be something to grumble about. What's going on in your heart? Because out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Indeed, we know that even our eating and drinking could be done in thanks. Surely, such is truly what we wish to see occur today. We eat with prayers of thanks, but we also eat as those who are grateful for what we have when others don't. And then we can give of our gifts with an open hand rather than a tight-fisted one to those who have little or less. And as we give to the causes of Christ, we do that not with a compulsive heart. That's what the world does. That's the compulsion that culture tries to set up. We're going to force you to give you your money to us, and we'll disperse it wherever we think it's best. But that's not the Christian way. We give to the causes of Christ, not with compulsion, but with a grateful heart. And out of a grateful heart. Our deeds that are done with regard to our studies and our homework and our housework and our chores, always a challenge for us to do them with more thanksgiving. What a difference when we do them with a grateful heart. What a difference in our houses when we do them with a grateful heart. What a difference when we do them in our schools with a grateful heart, rather than a grated one, rather than with an irritated one, or with an annoyed one, or with a drag my knuckles and my feet kind of mentality. And as we host others and serve others or bear the burdens of others, as we teach and admonish one another with the word of the Lord dwelling richly within us, these are ways that our deeds can be expressions of thanks to the Lord. And we notice that what is key to thanks in our words and deeds is to do them in the name of the Lord. Because you know, and I know, how easy it is for us to find ourselves doing what we're doing for ourselves, for our own name, for our own glory, for our own cause, rather than in and for the name that's above every name, to whom we owe everything. And no wonder the spirit of gratitude eludes us then. God forgive us when we say what we say and we do what we do, and we do it strictly for ourselves. Thanksgiving is far from that kind of a spirit. God help us to take up our tasks and take up our words with one motivation, and that is to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus, in order that thanksgiving will be directed to God the Father. My friends, do you have reason, as you're thinking about this on this Thanksgiving Day, do you have reason for thanks today? Truly reason for thanks? Well, you do if you've come to know in faith that you're not a child of God's wrath because of your sin, because of your shortcomings, but that you're part of God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved. You're a child of God. You're a child of God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone saves you from the wrath of God. Well, then, even amidst your struggles, and we all have them, you'll have reason to be thankful. In your praise, in your practice, in your prayers, in whatever you do or say. And you'll be thankful in what you're doing, when you're doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus and not in your own name. Because after all, where would you be without the Lord Jesus? There's your motivation for a thankful life. Good news for us. Amen. Let's take a moment to respond in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, Your gospel's joyful sound is found in your word. And you've reminded us here of where our spirit of thanksgiving needs to be ultimately directed, through whom that it's expressed. And what a blessing for us to be able to know and to be reminded again that there's a reason not just to be thankful sometimes, but to be thankful in everything. Not because there's not a struggle, not because there's not a pain, not because there isn't a strife, not because there isn't a battle, a fight of faith to be fought, but that in Jesus Christ, as God's chosen people, we've been set apart for this as those who are dearly loved by you. What good news when we know that. When we know that in our hearts, dear Father, may it show in our lives and in our praise of you. Like right now, as we sing, "We plow the fields and scatter." May you accept our prayers, dear Father, for the sake of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing that song, 551.